Welcome to the podcast. Yeah. Welcome to the podcast. Welcome to the podcast. Yeah. Welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, Patrick.
I love Patrick Warburton. He's got a nice voice. Mike, do you think I have a nice voice?
Oh yeah.
The poison. The poison to kill Cusco. The poison designed specifically to kill Cusco.
Oh, yeah. The poison specifically designed to kill Cusco's poison.
Mike, you're so good. You should be a voice actor.
Thank you.
All right, I don't always have to start it. Someone else,
Welcome to the podcast. My brother's being lazy today. Hooray.
Which one's your brother?
Who are you?
Feather.
Why don't you say me?
We're siblings the whole time.
You just did it really bad. Like, you want me to show you how to do it?
I want you to do it every single time for the rest of our lives.
Not the first episode.
Okay, shut up.
This is Battle of the Big Table. You might want to start with that.
I feel like they would know. They clicked on the video.
No, we forced them to watch the video. This is how it works.
Okay. That's why I brought this.
Hold them at gunpoint. You can't say this. They can't see what we're
doing. I know. I did it for us. It's an in-joke. Why would I bring a gun? They would be worried. I'm not going to mention that I brought a gun.
Yeah, we mentioned we brought a gun. That's... Whenever you roll a die!
Alright, this is Battle of the Big Table. My name is Pedro. With me, as always, as you could probably tell by now, seeing as we talked for like 4 minutes.
Hello.
Is Onion.
I'm Onion.
Also known as, what was your real name?
Daniel.
What did someone decide to write down on your paper?
Daniel.
Birth paper.
Yes.
And... my good friend, you know him, I know him, we all love him, we all want to be him, Mike Lee.
Is that what people say?
Those are the rumors. That's what we talk about.
Every single time.
Very dark rumors.
In today's episode, last time we talked about our first board game experiences, but Mike and Onion took so long that I didn't get to say anything.
I would blame Mike, but it is definitely Pedro's fault.
Okay. I didn't speak.
Gotta fill the airtime.
gotta fill that silence. Always be talking.
Always. Go.
I like that joke. I'm not cutting that one out.
Hurry up.
Like you're waiting for your turn at the slide.
You always get that one person who's scared of slides.
Go!
Then they like hold on to the sides as they're going down.
Okay. Going to follow you and kick you in the head. Go!
I'm going, don't push me! Don't push me. Alright, so my first board game experience. Anyone who heard the last episode knows I was really fond of chess. I was taught chess by my grandfather. But I didn't really think about board games all that much. Like, they were a part of my life. You know, I played Life. They were part of my life, and I played Life with my family. You know, we grew up, we played, like, Sequence, and I played, like, Apples to Apples with friends.
You hated Sequence.
What is Sequence?
I don't remember it. I don't know what you do in it, but we had it.
I'm pretty sure.
Supposedly there's some events.
A sequence of events.
I got no joke for this.
Several events in an order.
This is dumb.
If I were faster, I would have caught that one fast. I'm not good at that.
If only I could sequence.
What's a sequence jacket? Like, I wanted to make a joke on that, but I don't know what a sequence jacket
a
is.
A sequin jacket?
Oh, is that a sequin jacket? I've always thought it was a sequence jacket.
I suppose there's a jacket with sequins in it.
So it's called a sequin jacket. I've been wrong my entire life.
I'm pretty sure there's a sequins jacket, though. Actually, I don't know. I always thought the glittery ones where it's all, like, you know, different.
Yeah, sequins.
As long as the jacket has a set of events in it, shouldn't it be a sequins jacket?
So it's a jacket filled with cards over and over again in a sequence. Because that's what that board looks like. It's just a bunch of cards that you could own, but on the board.
Uh-huh. Oh, the sequence board?
Yeah.
I don't remember it, honestly.
I did.
It's a board with a bunch of bling on it.
Aren't we great at talking about board games where I don't remember how the board game works at all?
I don't remember how that works. I don't care. And
my parents,
never looked for it.
My parents bought the game as, like, a gift to give to people.
And then we kept it because no one wanted it.
No. They bought themselves one. We played it. They thought it was so fun that they bought it and gave it to a bunch of other people.
Yeah. They bought more.
Continuously bought the game. I'm not gonna sit here and talk about sequence for the next 4 hours. I don't know that game. But I never really thought about board games or, like, their versatility until, playing with you, Mike, like, we started playing. I never considered D&D, like, a game, but in high school we tried it a few times, which we'll get to next.
Mm-hmm.
I'll hold off on talking about that. But
D&D being Dungeons & Dragons for
the layman.
People who have never...
went outside.
Socialize with people.
If you've never watched TV,
if you've never socialized with anyone, you probably play D&D.
Well, yeah. I don't know. I guess it could work either way.
There's no hard and fast rules.
You can't play D&D by yourself. Though. It's a really boring game when you play it by yourself.
It's called being George R. R. Martin.
Historical D&D.
Oh my god.
Alright, so...
it's sadistic.
Yeah, well, I played, like, a lot of games growing up. I never... like, they were just things. They weren't, like, something like a hobby, you know? It was just, let's play a board game. I loved playing Clue with my family. That was one of the big influences.
Clue was awesome.
Yeah, but we would go on family vacations to places, and in the hotel room, whenever there was, like, a lull time, we'd sit out and play Clue. And I'd always try to, like, worm information out of people, out of their family.
It was super annoying because we'd always be sitting there, and then he's like, I already know what happened, and we're like, but the game just started 2 minutes ago, and he's like, no, don't worry about it, I already know what happened. And then for the entire game, he's like wiggling towards us going, hey, what about this? Is this? You got this? I know you have that. I tricked you. And I'm like, you just kept asking over and over again. I didn't say anything. And he's like, and that's all I need. And it's just like,
clever girl.
It's legitimately annoying, but also it's kind of interesting to watch him, like, try to outsmart everyone at the board when no one is trying to outsmart him. So it's just like four people trying to figure it out themselves, and then him going, all of you have failed.
You understand that in order to play the game, you have to find out.
Yeah, I know.
What the other people know.
Yeah, but
maybe you guys were just doing it wrong.
Probably.
I do like hearing me from Onion's point of view, because it's always like a dumb Jack version of me that's like being an asshole. Like, all I did was ask questions and get really excited whenever I figured things out based on what people would say. But Onion's like, oh, you'd be wriggling around.
You always sound more sinister.
Yeah, definitely. Maybe. Did I hurt you as a child?
Yeah. Many times.
What have I done, dude?
You know what you did.
Now everything I do has got this sinister feel to it.
Ooh, how shall I do it?
And how shall I destroy you today?
That's what it feels like sometimes. It's just like, I am plotting your death. It's like, okay, you gonna do something fun with it? Nope. You're not gonna know what happens.
This is typically what happens when you die. You don't usually know what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, so Clue was a big influence, and I really like that. But, like, when we started getting into, like these newer board games, the Arkham Horror games, Haunted House on the Hill, the Betrayal at the House on the Hill.
Yeah, Betrayal at the House on the Hill.
Yes.
Yeah, fantastic game. We started getting to know more people that were into these weird board games. Boy, did we have a fun story about this strange game about mafia bosses and diamonds that we played once.
Oh my god.
Which we'll get to at some point, just not today. Keep listening to the podcast. Like, comment, and subscribe. If that's a...
We're plugging it in here.
Yeah. Then we're gonna plug it at the end too. You can't stop us.
What platform are we on?
All of them. All of them.
YouTube, Spotify, Deezer. I don't know what a Deezer is, but we're on there, guys.
Hopefully it's nothing bad.
Deezer nuts. Oh!
This episode is gonna get rejected from Deezer. They're not gonna like it. I don't think they pay attention to what we're doing.
Oh, God.
No one's really paying attention to what we're doing.
It's okay, because one day they might, and that'll be great.
Well, will it be? These are nuts.
Okay, never mind. It'll be terrible, and I'll hate everybody. It's going to be great.
It's a good idea. So, the more like new and elegant ways that they're doing board games, games like Mysterium, what is it, Mounds of Madness?
Yeah.
You know, they've just really elevated like games. I think really the things that I got into before I got into like real board games or those types of games was card games. You know, when I was a kid, we collected Pokemon cards, Yu-Gi-Oh cards, and that ran into Magic, the Gathering. Mm-hmm. And I was really big into those, and still am, because I'm a huge nerd. And,
Represent?
The other thing was, Dungeons & Dragons, or D&D, as the more experienced people might call it. But that's kind of where I got started, is, you know, obviously the basic board games that we don't really think about now, and card games really led into these
more complicated, yeah, more interesting games like...
The harder drugs.
It's all a gateway. Now I understand what that means.
The Christians were right all along.
Except about D&D. They're very wrong about that.
Really? I don't know. I've sacrificed a few people to Satan ever since I started D&D. Have you not?
No.
That's why you're not good at it.
No, I'm pretty good at it. I just
have... Your rules are terrible.
Yeah, I am very unlucky. Yes.
Sacrifice a goat to gain advantage.
Yeah.
Okay, so the funny part is you can totally do that in the game, in the context of the game.
Well, if you ever sacrificed a lamb and drink its blood before you start playing, that's when you actually get the crits.
That is.
You gotta also roll out the ones. That's important too.
Yeah, that I'm okay with. That superstition I can get behind.
Stupid. Well, now that we've talked about my board game experience, and we were already kind of going into D&D. How about we start talking about our first D&D experiences?
Who would like to go first?
What? What's D&D?
Oh my! Asking questions.
It stands for Dungeons and Dragons.
Dungeons and or Dragons.
Actually, it mostly is Dungeons and or Dragons.
Yeah, I don't think I ever really played a campaign where I've had both.
That is a good ass point. I've never even fought a dragon yet.
Horde of the Dragon Queen.
I haven't played it. Now I feel bad. Yeah. Now I feel like I haven't played Dungeons and Dragons yet. Mm-hmm. All I've been playing is Dungeons.
Dungeons. Only Dungeons.
Dungeons and Cities. That's what I've been playing.
Well, I think the biggest reason for that is that you normally, you just play low level 1 through 5 stuff. Yeah. You don't really get to play like level 20 or level 15.
And to be fair, the way level 20 is designed is not fun.
Yeah,
very few people have a lot of fun playing level 20 versus anything that's level 20.
Like the problem is that you gain so many abilities over the entire career of a character's development, but by the time you're level 20, there's so much stuff that you can do, it's kind of pointless.
Yeah, it's like one action kills an entire group, but every single you have like 16 actions.
Mm-hmm. Now you guys should just play wizards. I mean, once you get fireball, that's the rest of the game, boys. fireball
until you get wish.
then you cast greater fireball.
With your wish?
Yes,
it's the only thing you've
cast. How could a DM make a greater wish for a greater fireball, a wish for a greater fireball turn back around on you? that's the issue with wish, is that clever DMs can use whatever you wish for, there'll be a consequence. They're like the bad genies. You gotta be careful with DMs.
Depends. The context. Because different DMs can be different things. Some DMs are more storytellers, some like mystery and intrigue, some just like making stuff for people, like worlds or dungeons.
Sociopaths were sadistic, need to destroy you.
Oh yeah, there's those ones too. I'm definitely not that one.
Are you sure, Mike?
We've all been in the same room right there.
Nah, I'm joking. Mike's not.
Mike is probably the best DM out of all of us.
I would have to agree.
You're pretty good. You're pretty damn good. I always enjoy every game with you.
I have a lot of fun DMing, but I also get really distracted with things that I don't understand. Like, I have a big problem with dungeons. I'm not very good at spatial reasoning, and so when I write them out on maps, I can kind of get a decent one going, but I have a problem with building them because I'm like, does this make sense? And then I'm like drawing the map, and the map looks terrible, and I'm like, so I've been looking for somebody to help me draw maps, but everyone I know that can do that, I want to play with. So it's like, here, help me draw this map. And they're like, cool, I now know everything you're going to do. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe I shouldn't play with you. But I don't want to lock anyone out like that. I'm probably going to end up forcing my friend Robert to do it, because he's really good at stuff. He's
do you want to mention someone's name?
Okay. Well, I don't know how many people are going to know Robert's a very generic name.
Well, I don't know. It's just, it's not a matter of, like, because, you know, obviously there's not a lot of people listening or anything, but, like, there is just for people's privacy, some people don't like just being called out or named. Though, the good thing is we didn't mention any last names or anything.
Yeah.
Which is fine, but I don't know.
Censor, like, someone drops a name.
Yeah, someone can edit it later. I wonder who's going to have to do that.
Go, Beather, go. Go, Beather, go.
Yay.
But I don't know. I guess you could ask your friend.
Yeah, I'll ask him about it later.
And if not, I can edit it later.
But yeah, he's really good at drawing maps and stuff like that and doing logistical things. And he hates playing D&D for some reason. And it makes me so sad because he really is good at it. Mm-hmm. He's good at making characters. He's good at talking to people. He's good at setting up situations. But he hates all of it.
Why does he hate it?
I don't know. I've talked to him about it.
it started to look back in high school because he got really excited that all of his friends were getting into D&D. So he started trying to DM and stuff. And he says he's done it before, but with his dad, with his uncle, his dad. And I was like, okay, cool, let's play. And so he starts making a world. And he gives up on that because he's busy and he doesn't feel like dealing with it. So he buys the Curse of Strahd book. We get like three like sessions in before we burn down the witch's hut in the middle of the game, and he gives up. And he's just like, I'm done. I can't DM you guys. You ruined the main campaign. You killed the witches for some reason, and now I have no way of getting you anywhere. I'm done. And I'm like, but we were having fun.
Yeah.
I wanted to go around meeting new people in this world. I didn't know anything about anything.
I think some DMs have a problem with, like, their idea of what the campaign's supposed to do, but you can never count on what the players are going to do. For example, like, I wanted to do a puzzle dungeon. I wanted to do something where I could make people feel like they were clever when they were doing stuff. Turns out the stuff I put in that dungeon was, I thought it was base level, but it was a little too obscure. And instead I had to like, just give out the answers to it. Because based off of die rolls, like, and you can't always predict what people are going to do. Like, if you think that, oh, they're going to do, be interested in this really cool character that you made, and they have a hook for an entire quest plot that you thought up, but either you didn't set them up interestingly enough for them, or they're just completely interested in something else, like loot. and they do not interact with that person whatsoever.
People will latch on to, like, random people that
have nothing.
You did not expect at all, and you're just like, okay, I guess I'm going to have to figure out the backstory and stats for this guy who's now going to be following you guys around.
So to be a successful dungeon master requires not only preparation, but improvisation on the fly.
Yeah.
You gotta know how to react to anything someone throws at you. Don't be, you know, like in improvisation, like the number one rule is don't say no, say yes and.
Right. Yes and yes. I never joined one of those cults, but I played D&D enough that I do abide by that. Yes, I think you both are fantastic DMs. Mm-hmm.
And I think you're pretty good too, Ben.
I wasn't fishing for compliments. You guys don't have to talk about me.
I've been in your campaign.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, I mean,
and I like that you used characters that you knew from other games. Mm-hmm. I think that's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think everyone's got kind of like a style when they go to DM, and I've had some DMs that are the sadistic psychopaths who are...
It's time to die. It's like,
and I never really, like, understood it, to be honest. It's just kind of like a power trip, but you're like, I spent time making this character. Like, why would you, like, set me up to die so easy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I really appreciate DMs that are... You know, obviously, they have to put you in danger. Like, your character can die... But, like, they're you can clearly tell they're, like, kind of with you. Like, they're trying to, like...
Guide you through a story.
Mm-hmm. And I think that, like, I've luckily stuck around with the DMs. Right now I'm in a campaign. And hopefully at some point when things are a little healthier and everyone's more fully vaccinated and stuff, maybe Mike can open up a campaign...
I've got ideas in the wings.
I know, it's awesome.
But right now I'm in an online campaign, which has been an interesting change to, you know, we used to meet up physically, and online is so different because, so when you're meeting physically, like, you're all right there, so you there's a flow of how you're talking,
mm-hmm.
and you know, oh, okay, this person's about to talk, they can stop, and then I'll talk. Or when you're interrupting, like, it's not that big of a deal. But when you're online, like, you can't all talk at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And it almost feels like you'll end up doing it because you can't see when people are about to start talking.
Yeah, there's no body language there. Mm-hmm. Which is interesting, for my first D&D campaign, was actually online a long time ago before we had, like,
Roll20.
Roll20 or Discord or anything. I did it over AOL instead of Messenger.
Dating us, Mike?
Yes. So everything was, like, completely text-based. Everyone was, you know, typing out. So there was no, like, talking over each other. You have an entire chat log to look, read through. My first campaign, I made a half-orc barbarian at 11th level. Oh, so I had a whole lot of things I didn't know that I could do.
So in Dungeons & Dragons, there's been many additions. Right now, 5th edition is the edition of rules that is the most recent one. You can use older books and older editions of rules. Mm-hmm. Famously, the best ones have been 5th edition's has some popularity behind it. Mm-hmm. I've seen some people argue about some of the stuff in it. Nerds are always going to argue about everything. Oh, yeah. It's fine.
Yeah, people still argue that advanced 2nd edition is the best.
Oh my god.
Why? Hey, I've got to bring back Thaco.
Alright, 3.5 I think is the other one that's been pretty popular. But which one was the one that you were doing?
I was in
3.5.
So in the height of D&D.
Yes.
Right before the very unfortunate 4th edition. The World of Warcraft edition. there were so many nuances that I learned about D&D. Because I'd only come back from a background of video games, that I wasn't aware of certain things. So my character would be in a dungeon and find a treasure chest. Like, I open the treasure chest, you find a bunch of gems and gold, and I go, yes! And I go do something, and then someone says, I pick up the gems and coins. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I have to say that?
I have to sell you that? Why wouldn't I?
That is definitely a beginner's, like, dilemma that always happens. I had it, Onion had it.
Yeah. Though I feel like it's also, like, a DM's, like, teaching moment, which is a weird thing to do for a DM. Because, like, why would a DM teach somebody they have to do that?
Well, the teaching moment that you have, like, especially if someone's new to the game, I would say, do you take it?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's very simple. Because then all that happened was that...
You saw.
I was very excited that I found this stuff, and then that I had to say that I took it, and then someone else took it, and then I distrusted that person for the rest of the campaign.
Oh, makes sense, yeah. Because they swooped in and stole your stuff.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
In my mind. Right. There's a lot of things... The first encounter that I went through was something that I would have never thought. I didn't understand what a sarcophagus was. So I thought sarcophagus... Well, I think I imagined it to be like a coffin, like standing up like in an Egyptian temple, you know? When we walked into this room full of sarcophagi, the DM said that a lightning bolt shoots from on top of one of them at us, and I assumed that it was shooting at us, so I went to go try to destroy it, but it's this big stone crypt in the middle of the floor. Mm. There's no me taking an axe to that. What actually was happening was that there was a bunch of these, and standing on top of them were a bunch of invisible vampires casting spells at us. How was I supposed to understand, or... I mean, even if you're the DM, how do you convey that?
Mm. I think, alright, so one thing I think is really interesting that is in video games, it's so easy to forgive a video game for doing that to you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you die, and then you just start back at the beginning of that level, and you walk in, and you have multiple attempts to try to figure this out.
Yeah.
But I think the thing that, like, people have to deal with when going to D&D and then starting is that you don't, like, you hopefully don't die. And even if you do, the game doesn't start over.
Yeah.
You have to make another character. The players move on. Like, but everything you just did, it just is what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Unless, you know, you're with a few characters and the whole party dies and you start the campaign back over, like, you just have to live with the consequences of whatever just happened.
Yeah.
And also, in a video game, you can just, like, smash buttons and flail around and, like, kind of accomplish stuff, but you gotta be very deliberate in D&D.
Mm-hmm.
And like, imagine, like, being dropped into a video game where it's a little more complex than just press X and square.
Right.
But it, you know, you have to press the P key to bring up this menu to do stuff. And in some games they don't even have press F to make pay respects prompts.
Press
so
X to Jason.
You're not, unless you know to do that from, like, some manual, you will have no idea what to do. And that's what being dropped into this point of the game was kind of like for me. Like, during that fight, all of a sudden, that same guy who took the gems started attacking me in the middle of that fight, which made me distrust him even more.
Right.
But it turns out that one of the invisible vampires cast a charm spell on them, and I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
He's been charmed.
Right.
And that's, what,
and
he
that's
likes
the
vampire?
That's the other thing that I think is interesting. When you're starting D&D, is so many parties, new players devolve into kind of this, and the phrase has been thrown around a lot, murder hobo.
Yeah, murder hobo.
Like, essentially, they just have this sort of video game mentality of, like, NPCs don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no one except me matters. I can attack, steal, and be rude and disgusting to whoever I want because I'm the player.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, the thing about D&D is that you're playing with multiple people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like, at first, it's hard for you to gauge the fact that, like, you aren't the main character. You're not the player. You're all the players.
Yeah.
And you have to work together as, like, a unit. And I think that gets, especially when it comes to, like, resource division, if you play with anyone who plays a rogue or, like, a thief, you know, they're always trying to steal stuff from you. But, like, that harms the party overall.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting who you play with because, and what they decide to do, because it can be very detrimental. I've been in a lot of parties where you have that one person who's just, like, going kind of nuts and doing stuff, and it makes it hard to, like, move forward because you're just like, I don't know how to deal.
Yeah, it's one thing that I've learned from DMing friends is that, like, friends can be really interested in D&D, so I'll, like, yeah, I'll DM you guys, it'll be fun. And then because I prepared enough for, like, people who are used to playing D&D, but I didn't think about what the new players are going to do because I'm like, well, the point is that I will adapt to whatever they do.
Mm-hmm.
And then they, instead of going to the places that I told them they could go, they go to the store. And I'm like, okay, they're going to the store. And then they try to kill everybody in the store and rob the store. And I'm like, what are you doing? And they're like, well, we wanted to get weapons. And I'm like, You have money. You can just buy the weapons. You don't need to rob anybody.
Is that what you do when you go to Walmart? I want the pool floaty. Sorry, cashier.
So, like, they start trying to kill everybody. And so I'm like, okay, well, what's the natural progression? Guards. What's the natural progression? Guards. Because they keep fighting. And then, you know, in the end, I have to pull them out of the situation because I don't want to kill them.
Yeah, you know what you do instead is that they somehow miraculously make it out of that, but now someone's hired Bounty Hunter to go after them.
Oh, that would have been good. What I ended up making them do is that I made a pirate crew save them and drag them out to sea. So, like, they kidnapped them and just left.
That's pretty good. I like that.
It's not bad, yeah. As a DM, there's sort of, like, this need to, like, Well, when you're doing it right, when you're not a sadistic monster, there's this need to, like, nurture good behavior and punish bad behavior. Mm-hmm. Players who do, like, harmful things, you want to be like, okay, let me show them this is dangerous, mm-hmm. what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And also just, like, you know, events that occur, like, you have to provide a proper, like, consequence to any action. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, people trying to rob, like, a store, like, obviously guards are going to come.
Yeah.
Like.
I think in the end, also, you always have to remember that you're trying to tell a story. So even if they do something like that, there's some good interest that can come out of that by putting them in something even more interesting than they try to rob them of all the goods. Now they're putting themselves in some deep doo-doo.
Mm-hmm. And which you know, done properly, like, that could be really fun. Mm-hmm. Like, but you gotta know, like, who you're playing with, like, what their level's at,
what their interests are.
Yeah, because I've been in some campaigns where, like, the DM clearly wanted to play with, like, higher level D&D people, and we were all newbies.
that's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah.
So that happens to my friend a lot. Mm-hmm. It's hilarious because he'll grab me and be like, "You're experienced in D&D," and I go, "Sure, let's say that. That makes sense. I've played a couple of games." And then,
like, lying to people.
Yeah, and then he is sad when we fuck up the main campaign by trying to steal something that was obviously ours. And I think another problem he has is that he doesn't try to alter the rules slightly to help us. Mm-hmm. He does everything in his power to make it fair. And then when we roll a 15, which is really good, and he rolls a 16, he sits there and goes, "Yeah, no," he catches you, instead of going, "Oh, probably is distracted? Yes, okay, then it's probably fine, you're probably fine." Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if that's a bad thing or a good thing, but it's really... Well, it made us fuck up the entire campaign and made him quit, so, you know, I feel like it's a bad thing, because we got nothing out of it.
You know, I would have thought, like, for the longest time, like, if you want to figure out, like, what kind of campaign to run for people, like, you should ask them, but that's always not a good idea because no one knows what they want.
Exactly. So
you're actually in the campaign and they're doing whatever they want. And I find, like, DMing for people, you realize what they latch on to whenever you describe things to them, and you find out that this person might like more the story-driven stuff. They like talking to people. Or this person might care more about the combat. They like the tactical interests. Or this person just cares about what kind of stuff they can get for themselves. They really like loot. Mm-hmm. And you can always tailor campaigns around those kind of interests.
Mm-hmm. But those are interests you have to learn.
Yeah.
You kind of have to learn your player base and learn to adapt.
Yeah, like, as in D&D, it's funny because no matter what position you're being in D&D, whether you're, you know, playing as either wizard, cleric, barbarian, or as a dungeon master, which is a position of playstyle in D&D, mm-hmm. You have to learn and adapt and grow. Mm-hmm. And as you do it more, you get better at it. But I think that's a good bit. We didn't exactly talk about our first times, but we can maybe have more specific stories about those. Maybe even invite some of the people that were involved in these horrific first times.
Also, note to the players, the game should be fun for the DM, too.
Yes. So don't ruin the game for anybody. It's not fun. It's not good.
The DM is also playing with you guys. It's funny, because one of the first D&D experiences I had was with Mike, and our band that we used to have. So we had those people. That band broke up, so maybe we can invite those ex-band members to come on to the podcast with us and hash out all our band drama.
Band drama.
We broke up very amicably, and I'm sure it'd be fine. We talked about one of those people in the first podcast, Natalie, my our ex-drummer. But either way, this episode is done. Like, comment, and subscribe if that's a thing you can do, India.
We don't know how to end these things, so please do something.
Eventually we'll get a catchphrase.
Catchphrase!
I speak on the podcast, so you don't have to.
No, not saying
that. That's the way the podcast crumbles.
And if you want to learn more about board games, please listen on.
Listen on. We're nerds. Just be nerds. It's fun.
It's good to be a nerd.
It's good to be a nerd.
Pack up the board and roll out.
Pack up the board and roll out. What are you, an autopilot?
If you want to give us an ending catchphrase, go ahead and comment below. <my book.
laughs> Oh my god, I would love Mike being an Autobot, but he chose a really fancy game board, like Mousetrap. you turn into a Mousetrap board.
If you were a board game, which one would you be?
Maybe that we could do that next time.
See, I feel bad for making it Mousetrap, even though that's the most mechanical one, because that's the one no one plays. Everyone just uses, you know? Everyone just...
The game Mousetrap itself, I don't think is all that good, but like... It's fun to make a Rube Goldberg machine.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
If you were a board game, Pedro would be chess. Onion would be trouble, and I would be sorry.